Shavua Tov and Gmar Sima Tova. Today's daf is daf Mem Tesam and Aleph. We're going to begin on daf Mem Chesam and Beis. Five lines up before the end of the Amud. Rab Yehuda Marav, Zo Divrei Rabbi Shimon. The Mishnah back on daf Mem He Amud Beis quotes Rabbi Shimon and doesn't mention that the Chachamim disagreed with Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah spoke about a case of three chatzeros. Each one opens up to the next one, and each one of the two extremes opens up into Rishus HaRabim, and the two outer chatzeros, each one made a separate Eruv with the middle chatzer. And in such a case, Rabbi Shimon, the way we have it in our Mishnah at least, says that the outer chatzer with the inner chatzer, they have a valid eruv, they can carry from one to the other. The other outer eruv on the other side has a valid eruv with the middle chatzer, and therefore the middle chatzer can carry back and forth to the other extreme, but the two chatzeros on the polar extremes cannot be metaltel one from to the other. So in a sense, what we have is the middle chatzer carrying into the outer chatzer on one side, and the same to the outer chatzer on the other side, and the outer chatzers can be metaltel into the middle chatzer, but the outer chatzers one to the other are excluded. Om Rab Yehuda Marav Zo Divrei Rabbi Shimon Aval Chachamim Omrim Rishus Achas Mishameshes L'shtei Rishuyos. There's one Rishus that serves both Chatzeros, and the two Chatzeros on the extreme, on the polar extremes, are permitted to be Mishtamesh with the Chatzer Emtzois, Avolo Shtei Rishuyos Mishamshos Rishus Echad. Which means, and we're going to clarify this a little better as we go along in this Sugya, that the emtzois ein hi rashois lishtamishman, the middle chatzer cannot be metaltel into the two extreme chatzeros. So we'll allow the two extreme chatzeros to carry into the middle chatzer, but the middle chatzer cannot carry into the two extreme chatzeros. And that's called a principle which we'll get into, Mirtz Hashem, called Chamar Gamal, meaning that the middle chatzer is being pulled in two different directions by each of the extremities, and therefore it doesn't have a valid Eruv. According to Rav, it comes out the following, that both Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim allow the two outer chatzeros to be mishtamesh, meaning to carry into the inner chatzeros. The machlok is going to be where the middle chatzer has a leniency allowing him to use, I mean, all the members of that chatzer, allowing to them to use the outer chatzeros. The shita of Rabbi Shimon is lekula, they're allowed to use the outer chatzeros, whereas the chachamim osri. That's Rav. Ki amrisa kami the Shmuel, when the statement of Rav came from Shmuel disagreed with Rav, the Omar li. And the way Rabbi Yehuda reports it, Shmuel responded and said the following. Now we're on Daf Memtes, Omen Aleph. Af zo divrei Rabbi Shimon. Now it's even Rabbi Shimon, who is lenient, and he's mekil, he agrees that the middle chatzer is not allowed to use or carry into the outer chatzeros. So where is the machlokas now between Rav Shimon and Chachamim? In what case is Rav Shimon mekil and Chachamim machmir? With regard to the outer chatzeros, are they allowed to use the middle chatzer? In other words, were these two eruvin valid? Rabbi Shimon says yes. Again, in one direction. In other words, only from the chatzer ha-chitzona into the emtzois, but not the other direction. Al chachamim omrim she shloshtan asuros. that none of these Erevin are recognized and validated. No one's allowed to go to any chotzer. And the Chachama Machmir, whether it's the Chitzonos who want to use the Emtzois or the Emtzois who wants to use the Chitzonos, they're all awesome. And certainly it goes without saying, because even Rav Shimon would agree, that the outer Chitzonos cannot carry one to the other. So based on what we learned until now, we would make the following summary. The machlokas between Rav and Shmuel is a twofold machlokas. One is with regard to the sheet of Rabbi Shimon, and the other with regard to the sheet of the Chachamim. So let's go through Rav in Rabbi Shimon, Shmuel in Rabbi Shimon, Rav in the Chachamim, and Shmuel in the Chachamim. Rav in the Shitas, Rabbi Shimon is matir in both directions, meaning from the Chitzonios into the Emtzois, and from the Emtzois into the Chitzonios. Shmuel, on the other hand, says that Rabbi Shimon did not matir anything more than the Chitzonios into the Emtzois, but the Emtzois has no heter to carry into the Chitzonios. That's machlokas number one between Rav and Shmuel. The second machlokas between Rav and Shmuel is not about Rabbi Shimon, but now we move over to the Chachamim. According to Rav, the Chachamim only disagreed as far as the heter that Rav Shimon postulated with regard to the Emtzois using the Chitzonios. Here's where the Rabbanon rejected Rav Shimon and the hold that the Emtzois is not allowed to use the Chitzonios. But as far as the Chitzonios using, when I say using, I mean carrying into the Emtzois, according to Rav's opinion, the Chacham would agree to that. Whereas according to Shmuel, the Chacham are machmir, and they prohibit in all directions, as we said before, invalidating all these Erevin. And even the Chitzonios are not allowed to use or carry into the Emtzois. Tanya Kavosei de Rabbi Yehuda Liba de Shmuel. We now are quoting a Braisa that would reflect the interpretation of the Machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim of Shmuel, meaning the way Rabbi Yehuda had quoted Shmuel. And the language of the Braisa is the following. Amar Rabbi Shimon, lema dover dome. This is part of our Mishnah, but the Braisa clarifies Rabbi Shimon. L'sholosh chatzeres ha-psuchos zu l'zu, psuchos gam l'shus ha-rabim, ervu shtayim im ha-im tzayis. The two adar chatzeres set up an eruv, respectively, with the em tzayis. According to Rabbi Shimon, zo mevia mitof besa, v'ocheles, and machazeres mosra lesof besa, v'zu machazeres mosra lesof besa, aval chacham omrim shloshtan asuros. This braisa will clarify and establish that according to Rav Shimon, there's a heter for the chitzonos to use the emtzois. But Rav Shimon did not go as far as allowing the Emtzois to use the Chitzonos. Because he says, Rabbi Shimon, in the way he's quoted in this Braisa, that the Chitzonos will bring their Seuda, each one respectively, obviously, into the Emtzois. He doesn't mention the opposite. Mitoch lava toshmehem, for the fact that Rabbi Shimon omitted the possibility of the Emtzois bringing his Suda to the Chitzonos. You know, the whole goal here was to have a happy Suda. And the Bnei HaChotzer HaChitzona on both sides, of course, wanted to have a joint meal with the Bnei HaChotzer Emtzois. Rav Shimon in the Braisa should have mentioned that there are two possibilities here. Either the food is brought from the Chotzer HaChitzona into the Emtzois, or vice versa. From the fact that Rabbi Shimon only mentioned the leniency of allowing, based on this Erev, the Chitzona to bring his food into the Emtzois in both directions, it implies that certainly according to Rav Shimon, there would be no heter for the Chotzer HaEmtzois to bring his food into either of the two Chitzonios. So the Erev is valid, but only in one direction. We also see clearly from the Braisa that the Chachamim prohibit all three of them. Shloshtan Asuros, which means that the Chachamim invalidated all these Erevin, they have no impact whatsoever. And this is all against Rav. V'azda Shmuel l'tameh. The Gemara now brings another statement of Shmuel, which is very consistent with his first statement. The Omar Shmuel, Chatzer Shebein Shnei Mivos, in a case where you have a chot, that means two houses share a common courtyard, and this courtyard has openings on both sides that spill into a mavui on the right side, a mavui on the left side. Now, those who live in the chatzer will, in order to get to Rishus HaRabim, they will walk through, they will pass through the mavos, let's say during the weekday. Forget about Shabbos for a moment. And they have two mavos. They have a mavui on the right and a mavui on the left. Now what happens when it comes to Shabbos? Erva im shnehem. If that chotzer, says Shmuel, set up an eruv with both mavos, is asura im shnehem. And what that means is that this chatzer, which is located in the middle between two mavos, is being pulled in two different directions. And this means that the chatzer does not have the power and the authority to set up an eruv in two different directions. This reflects the interpretation of Rabbi Shimon Shita according to Shmuel, with regard to the case of Shalosh Chatzeros, that the middle Chatzer is not allowed to benefit from the outer Chatzeros. And the reason for that is because, as we said before, the middle Chatzer is being pulled in two directions, so that the Erevin will only be meaningful for the outer Chatzeros to carry into the middle Chatzer. Or in this case, there could be an Erev with the Bnei Amovi on the right side into the chatzer in the middle, the same with regard to the Bnei Amovi on the left side, setting up an Erev with the chatzer in the middle, and that would allow the Bnei Amovi on each side to carry into the chatzer, but the Bnei Chatzer are not allowed to carry into either Mavui, because they are like Shmuel's interpretation of Rav Shimon in the case of Chatzer Emtzayis, who is not allowed to use or rely on the Eruv in order to carry into the Chitzonios, because he's being pulled, as we said before, into different directions. Now the Gemara continues to clarify the laws of Shmuel with regard to a Chatzer between two Mavos. Lo Erva im Shneem. In other words, there was no Eruv, not with this one, nor with that one. Is Oseres al Shneem, which means that in the absence of Erevin, neither an Erev on this side nor an Erev on that side, there is an Iser al Shneem, which means that if the Bnei HaChatzer want to carry into them Mavui, now this is a little bit strange. Why should the chatzer in the middle, in the absence of an Erev, have any impact on the use of the other Bnei HaChatzer? The Bnei HaChatzer want to use the Mavui either on the right side or the left side, right? Whether it's west or east. And the answer is there's something called Oseres, which means that those who live in the chatzer have passage rights to go through this mavui. And unless those, and all of those dayorim, all of those who live and have their homes in that chatzah that uses the mavos, the various mavos, there's a mavui on the right side and the left side as drises regel, which is called passageway, then they are considered, I'm talking about the bnei chatzah who are in the middle between these two mavos, they are considered as if they live in the Mavui, meaning as far as this Mavui is concerned, since they have passageway through the Mavui, and that's the way they go out to Rishus HaRabim, therefore they are considered like the Bnei HaMavui. They are like considered as if they live in the Mavui, so to speak. And since they didn't set up an Eruv, that's going to generate a Bittul, even if the Bnei HaChatzer on both extremities make their own Eruv all together to have access into the Mavi. One Mavi here on the right, one Mavi on the left. Those Eruvin are invalid because unless they get the Dayarim who live in the Chatzir in the middle to join them in the Eruv, those Dayarim generate an Isur on the Mavui in both directions insofar as they have passageway and rights to use the Mavui. Again, in both directions. However, Hoysa bi'echad regila u'bi'echad eino regila. Those who live, those batim that spill into that chatzer, which is surrounded on both sides by mevos, they generally use the passageway in one particular mavui. They don't go in to Rishus HaRabim or exit from their chatzer to get out to Rishus HaRabim through the other mavui. And once again, it's a case where lo ervu zemze. They did not, the bnei mavui on each side did not gain the participation and the partnership of the bnei chatzer. So the halach in such a case is zesha regilabo asur v'zesha ein regilabo mutter. We're going to split now between the two muvos. The bnei chatzer in the middle between the two muvos will generate an iser only on that chatzer where they use and materialize their legal rights of drisas regel of passageway, because they are considered bnei mavui because they use that mavui. But they don't use the other mavui, it's ein regilabo, and therefore they are not considered dayarim in that mavui that they don't use, even though legally and theoretically they have access to that mavui. Omar Rabba Barav Huna. Now, once again, Rabba Barav Huna wants to take this a step further as far as what we call regila lishtamish b'mavui. When the Bnei Chatzah use one Mavui, and not necessarily the other Mavui. Omar Rabba Barav Huna im Erva im She'ena Regila Bo. If the Bnei Chatzah, instead of what we would have anticipated, that they would enter into an Erev with the Mavui that they normally would use, because they would want to have access to that Mavui on Shabbos, so they would set up an Erev with that Mavui, the Bnei Mavui, instead, to our surprise, they set up an Eruv with those who are Eino Regilabo, with the Mavui where they don't usually exit from. Is in such a case, Hutar Regilo Liatzmo, the Bnei Mavui that normally these Bnei Chatzah would have utilized their passageway rights, but in this case they have, so to speak, remove themselves from use of that chutz of that mavui. Again, only for Shabbos, obviously. But for the 24 hours of Shabbos, they have sort of, by implication, made a declaration, we're not using that mavui. We're going to use the other mavui for some reason. There's a bar mitzvah celebration on that side. We're going to go out through that side. The mavui on the east rather than the mavui on the west. So in that case, at least for that Shabbos, they set up a new regilus, so to speak, a new passageway, and if they join together with those in that mavui that they intend to use, that's fine. And not only that, but now the bnei mavui that, by implication, they have removed themselves from, have their own independent status vis-a-vis the mavui. They can set up their own sheet of mavos, and they don't have to be worried about the fact that there are bnei chatz who legally and theoretically have rights to that mavui, because now they have declared through the Eruv that they're not using their rights for this particular Shabbos. Furthermore, Amar Rabba Barav Huna Amar Shmuel im Erev Ragil Liatzmo, if the Dayarim of a Mavui, where the Bnei Chatzah used that Mavui, and what they did was the Bnei Mavui set up an Erev Beinom Levein Atzmo, in other words, they did not invoke or successfully attract the Bnei HaChatzah to join in their Mavui, in their Eruv. V'zesha ein regila bo lo Eruv. And the Dayarim that live in the other Mavui, where ein regila bo, the Chatzah, Bnei HaChatzah don't usually use that Mavui, they didn't make an Eruv at all. V'hi atzma lo erva, and those b'nei amavui did not make an erev with any of the other b'nei amavui, is dochenosa etzel she'en regila. She'en regila bo. And what this means is that since the dayorim of that mavui did not make an eruv amongst themselves, so they're not allowed to be metaltel in that mavui. So at that point, the bnei mavui have no drisas regel into the chatzer, into the dayore chatzer. And in that case, the drisas regel rights of the dayore chatzer do not in any way generate an isur on that chatzer. So basically, since they made a declaration that we're not entering into an eruv with bnei chatzer, then since legally now al pidin the bnei chatzer have no right to utilize their passageway during that Shabbos, therefore they're not going to upset and undermine the eruv that's made by the bnei chatzer, and the bnei chatzer therefore can utilize that mavui. However, ein dayori achatzer ashoim likanes v'leitzei derech oso mavui shoy regil bo tamid l'fisha b'nei oso mavui hinichu erev b'nom v'natzma. So on this particular Shabbos, what's going to happen is the b'nei mavui on the, we'll call it on the western side, they can use the mavui because they made an erev together. The b'nei hachatzer, even though normally they implement their passageway, but in this case, they have no rights to, according to halacha, to enter into that mavui on Shabbos because they didn't participate in that eruv. But it goes a step further than that. Not only that, even though they have drisus regel in that particular mavui, that drisus regel does not undermine the validity of the eruv that the bnei achatzer, or I should say bnei achatzeros, made vis-a-vis that mavui. Because basically, once the Bnei HaMavui have established their Eruv, they're basically telling the Bnei HaChatzer to fly a kite, meaning, we don't want your Drisus Regel, the Shabbos, you're not part of our Eruv. And you may ask the question, wait a second, legally, the Bnei HaChatzer do have rights of passageway through that Mavui. How can the Bnei HaMavui say, no, we're going to make our own Eruv, and you're out of it? And the answer is Kagon Zek Hofin Al Midas Sdom. Since the Bnei HaChatzer did not participate in the Eruv, therefore, they don't have any rights to use the Mavui on Shabbos. They have theoretical legal rights, but they don't have halachic rights to carry into the Mavui because they didn't make an Eruv together with the Bnei HaMavui. And therefore, for them to insist, well, we want to undermine your Eruv because we have legal passageway rights to this Mavui and we were not part of the Eruv, that would be called Midas Sdom. Because again, in the status quo, the Bnei HaChatzer, have no right to use that Chatzer. That Mavui. Why? Because they weren't part of the Eruv. So we take those legal rights that they have of Drisas Regel in the Mavui and we suspend them. Because they don't lose anything. Who gains? The Bnei HaMavui, who entered into that common Eruv with the Mavui, with all the Chatzeros that share that Mavui, they gain, and there's no loss to the Bnei HaChatzer. And that's called Kofin Al Midas Stone. In the case of an Erev Chatzeros, each one of the Bnei HaChatzer contributes a pas, and it's deposited in the hands of, and in the house of one of the Bnei HaChatzer. And Ruvain, who's one of the participants and contributed to the Erev, says, I don't want anyone eating my pas. Se Shmuel ein eruvo eruv. He now undermines and invalidates the eruv, the entire eruv. Why? Because mashmo, what's the name of an eruv? It's eruv shmo, and what that means, eruv shmo means that we all become participants and partners in one pas. and no one will protest and object against any of his friends, any of his neighbors using and eating that pas. Now that he made a declaration, I don't want anyone eating my pas. I bought a very fancy pas. Okay, it's if you go into Berman's Bakery, which is up the block here, you know, they have a special section for the real expensive stuff. It's behind the glass. So this guy gave a very beautiful pass, and he doesn't want anyone using it. He wants to get it back. So he invalidates the entire Eruv. The whole enterprise is down. Rabbi Chanina Amar, he disagrees. Eruvo Eruv. The fact that he's makbid, that no one else should eat from him, that doesn't undermine the whole concept or the validity of the Eruv. And Elenikra, he's a stingy guy. Meanche Vardina. Okay, we don't want to mention this place called Vardina because the people who lived in that place called Vardina were Tsaras Ayin. They were very, they were very stingy people. They didn't want to share with others. So he's stingy, but it doesn't invalidate the Eruv. And I would just say the following, that basically, once a person enters into the Eruv, at least according to Rabbi Chanina, he gives legal rights to those who join together with his Eruv to use his pas. On a Choshen Mishpat level, he could object to their using the pas, but not in terms of the Eruv. As far as the Eruv is concerned, the Eruv is valid. He's very stingy because he insists that no one should eat his pas. Om Rabbi Yudha Mishmuel, Acholek es Eruvo eno Eruv. What happens if they collected a pas from all the Bnei Achotzer? Everything looks fine, except they put it into two different kelim, two different utensils. Says Shmuel, that undermines the Eruv. Because again, what's the name of an Eruv? Eruv is together. It's a tarovus altogether. Kiman. So the Gemara asks the question, this statement of Shmuel seems to jump into a machlokas between Beisil Beit Shammai and reflects the Shita Beit Shammai, which is impossible. Because we always pass it like Beisil. Ke Beit Shammai, Desanya, Chamisha, Shegavu es Eruvam. There were five different Bnei Achotzer, and they collected the Eruv, and Nasnua B'Shnei Kelim. They put it into two different utensils. Is Beit Shammai Omrim Ein Zeh Eruv. That's not called an Eruv. Beisil Omrim Harei Zeh Eruv. So Shmuel comes out to be establishing the halacha like Beit Shammai. That's impossible. The Gemara answers, Afilu tem Beis Hillel. Even Beis Hillel agrees that sometimes in two kelim we have to invalidate the Eruv because it's not an Eruv. Ad kan lo kamrei Beis Hillel hasam el demalion limonavi aiter. What happened was they took all the various pitos from the Bnei Achotzer. They collected it together in one kli, and then it started overflowing. They realized that the kli, the utensil, was not large enough a receptacle to hold on to all the different pitos from the many different Bnei Achotzer. So they had no choice, and they took the vestige, the overflow, and they put it into a second kli. That's valid, says Beis Hillel. Aval hecha de palga miflag, but if from the get-go they collected the Erevin, the pitos, into two kelim, that is a situation in which even Beis Hillel would be moded to Beis Shammai that the Eruv is not valid. And that's the case in which Shmuel said, Acholik es Eruvo, eno Eruv. The Gemara asked Vitarte Lomeli, why did Shmuel feel compelled to teach us two dinim? On the one hand, he taught us a din that if someone is makpid on his Eruv, and he doesn't want anyone else to eat the pas that he contributed, that undermines the Eruv. Now he tells us that in the case where the Eruv is divided into two kelim, that disqualifies the Eruv. Why do I need both? We need both. The Yashmin and Hossam, in the case of a person who doesn't want anyone to eat his pas. Ah, there I understand why it's not called an Eruv. Mishum de Kapit. He makes a definite statement, a declaration. He doesn't want anyone eating from the Eruv. So he's not part of the partnership of the Eruv. It's not an Eruv. Aval Hacha, but in this case, where they divide up the Eruv into two Kalim, it doesn't mean that anyone is makbid and saying, well, I don't want anybody eating my pas. Amalah, I would think that, okay, it's in two kelim, so what? It's still an Eruv because they all participated and they're all allowing everyone else to eat their pas. V'yashminenach, if Shmuel would have disqualified only in the case where there were two kelim, mishum de palge miflag. Objectively, the Eruv is split into two. There's no one Eruv together. and that's not called an Eruv. Aval Hosam, in the case where someone was makpid, but nevertheless his pas was put into the same kli, Emolo, I would think that would not disqualify the Eruv. Tzricha, and therefore I need both statements. Amale Rabbi Abia le Rabbi Yehuda bebe matzarta. This is the place where they used to take the olives to the press, and it was owned by Debei Rav Zakkai. And this is just telling you a little bit of the giving a little flavor to where this dialogue took place, in a location called Bei Matzarta. Umi Amar Shmuel Hacholik Esei Ruvena Eruv. How do you reconcile Shmuel's disqualification of an Erev in two Kalim with another statement of Shmuel? Amar Shmuel, Bayis, Sheminichim Boa, Erev Eno Tzorach Liton Liten Es Hapas. That if, let's say, you have five Bnei Achotzer, and Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisach, they all deposit their pas in the house of Reuven. Reuven doesn't have to contribute his pas together with the other members of the Chotzer. My timer. Why is this so? Lav, isn't it probably for the following reason? Mishum, tekeva demanach besala, keman demanach hochadomi. In other words, wherever this Reuven, the host of the Erev, has his pas, in whatever keli, he keeps it in a receptacle, so he is also participating in the Erev. But now we have all the Erevin of Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar in one Keli, and we have the Pas, the Erev of Reuven, in a different Keli. And yet Shmuel validates it. Hachadami came into Manach, Basal, Keman, Manach, Hachadami. So why don't we say that even if one of the Pitos was collected and designated into a different receptacle than the rest, it's as if they're all together in the same Keli. Amalei, no, you misunderstood. That's what Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda responds to Rabbi Abba, Hasam, in the case that Reuven is hosting the Eruv, and the Eruv is going to be collected into his house, Afal Pisha Ein Lo Pas, he does not have to contribute to this Eruv. My Taima, the Kulei Hachadire. The whole purpose of the Eruv is that a person's Makom Dira is wherever his food is. And all the people now have established their shutvis, their partnership in this dira of Reuven. Reuven doesn't have to participate and contribute to the pas. Since he's hosting the Eruv, it's as if he's part of one house, one dira with all the other people. He doesn't need to, in some sense, symbolically acquire ownership over this dira. It's his dira, right? It's registered in Tabu on his name. Amar Shmuel, Eruv Mishum Kinyan. How does Eruv join together all Bnei HaChotzer and make it into one Rishus, as if this Chotzer belongs to everyone, all the houses that spill into this Chotzer, as one domain, as one joint partnership? Mishum Kinyan, which means the following, that, again, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, each respectively brings the pas to Reuven. And when Reuven takes that pass, he, in quid pro quo, in response to receiving their pass, he bequeaths to them, and they acquire from him ownership, so to speak, in his chotzer. Again, it's not choshen mishpatika ownership. I mean, they can't sell his house, right? But they have, so to speak, ownership in a joint house for the purpose of Eruv Chatzeros. So it's really, in effect, a kind of a kinyan that gives and makes it into one Rishus. Vim Tomar, now we have a couple of questions to ask on Shmuel. Mipnei ma ein konim b'ma. You know, your classic way or method of acquiring ownership over a house, a piece of real estate, is through money, kesef. So why doesn't each one, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, give a certain substantial amount of money or a minimum amount of money to Reuven, and in so doing acquire a partnership in his dira? That would seem to be the more logical way of setting up an Eruv. And the Gemara answers, Mipnei she'eino mitzuya bi'arvei shabbos. The Rabbanim were very worried that at that moment that the Eruv is going to be Chal, which is Ben Hashmashos, you know, entering into Shabbos, at that point, no one's holding on to Mos, and therefore the Chacham made a takana that the Eruv should be done through Pas. So the Gemara now asks, Hecha d'ma'arav miu liknei? Okay, so the Rabbanu wanted to make it easier, and therefore they set up an Eruv through a Pas. But why do you exclude and disqualify an Eruv that was made through Mos? Let's say they did happen to have Mos, so they came early Friday morning. And the Gemara answers, Gzeira shemiyomru ma'ikar. We're afraid that the people might get accustomed to use a ma as a classic method of creating an Eruv Chatzeros. V'zimnid lo shchicha ma. And then at certain situations, certain Fridays, they won't have any access to Mos at the time of the Eruv. V'lo asi l'eruvi b'pas. They already forgot about the whole enterprise of setting an Eruv b'pas. V'yosi eruvi and this is going to create a kilkul. They're going to forget about the whole institution of Eruv. So therefore, they made a gzera and they said, we're not going to allow you and we won't recognize or validate an Eruv with money. We're only going to recognize it with a pas. And that would sort of grease the, you know, oil the mechanism, the machinery, so that there would be an Eruv bepas, because pas, as we said before, was mitsuya, was accessible. Rava Omar, Rava has a different explanation as to why an Eruv, or how an Eruv works. How does an Eruv integrate all the dayarim of one chatz into one rishus? And the answer is mishum dira, but when Shimon, Levi, Yudi, Yisachar contribute a pas, each one respectively, to Ruven, they now set up their dira, and you ask them, where are you living over Shabbos? And the answer is, we're living in Reuven's house, because that's where our pas is. That's the mechanics of Erev Chatzeres. My Beinayu, what's the difference between Shmuel, who holds Erev Mishum Kinyan, and Rabba holds Erev Mishum Dira? And the Gemara offers two nafkaminas. One nafkaminika Beinayu, Kli. Can you set up an Erev Chatzeres with a utensil? According to Shmuel, who says Erev Mishum Kinyan, well, a Kli is called a Kinyan Sudar, and you could be Kona Karka by giving someone a Kli, and therefore, if Erev Mishum Kinyan, then this Erev would be valid. And you have to add, I think, another point over here, namely, that Kalim are always Matsui, so we don't have the same problem that we had about Mos. However, if you hold like Rabba, that Erev Mishum Dira, you cannot be ma'ariv without food. You know, people consider their makom dira where their pas is. And a keli, with all due respect, that's not considered a makom dira. Now the Gemara offers a second nafkamina. Upachos mishava pruta. What happens in a case where this pas is less than a shava pruta? Well, if you hold Erev Mishum Kinyan, then the mechanics of Kinyan cannot be valid with less than a shava pruta. Less than a shava pruta is not called mamon, and if the pas is not worth a pruta, no way that could it effectuate a kinyan. Whereas according to Rabbi Lul's Erev Mishum Dira, what difference does it make how much he can get on the market for this pas? It's totally irrelevant. Why? Because he'll enjoy the pas just the same. So his dira is now b'makom pas. His makom dira is where he puts his pas. And now we're turning to Daf Memtes Amud Beis. And the Gemara wants to know, what about a katan? Can a person send a katan as his shliach to deliver the eruv? Let's say Shimon sends little Yankala, who's a 10-year-old boy, to deliver the pas to Reuven and to set up an Erev Chatzeros. So the Gemara says, if you hold Erev Mishum Kinyan, then there's no shlichus in Kinyonim for a katan. A katan cannot serve as a shliach. It's atem gam atem, ma atem b'nei mitzvos af shluchachem b'nei mitzvos. But if you hold Erev Mishum Kinyan, then basically what the katan is doing is he's serving as a technical shliach, just to bring the pas into the dira of Reuven, and that's valid. Kasha. I have a brisa that contradicts both Rabba and Shmuel in one fell swoop. Hatanya, we have a brisa that says Chamisha shegavu es eruvan. Five different people share the same chatzer, and they collected a pas for the purpose of an eruv, and they left it in the house of Reuven. And now they decide that they would like to set up an eruv with another chatzer. So you have chatzer A and chatzer B. So the people in chatzer A already set up their eruv for chatzer A. Now they have a desire to be able to carry from their chatzer to the next door chatzer. They want to now set up an eruv with bnei chatzer, and that would allow them to carry from their chatzer into the next door chatzer. So now they have to set up an eruv with the other chatzer, because they only have an eruv with their bnei chatzer. And the brisa says, k'shei molichem es eruvam l'makom acher, echad molich l'kulam. In other words, they don't have to now contribute a second round, each one, respectively, to give his pas, in order to deposit it in the hands of the other chatzer, but with the original pas that they contributed, one of the bnei chatzer can offer and contribute his pas on behalf of all the bnei chatzer. So the Gemara, Abaye asks the following question: how would this eruv be valid? According to Shmuel, eruv mishum kinyan hu niu dekakani v'sulo. Only one person, let's call him Reuven, he contributed a pas to the other bnei chatzer. He made a kinyan on that other chatzer, but the other members of his chatzer, his neighbors, Shimon, etc., etc., they did not create a kinyan. So the Gemara answers, I'm sorry, I didn't finish the question, but who knew dekodayer v'sulo? So since the kinyan was made only by Reuven, he now has acquired a status of a dayar. He lives together with the other chatzer, but that's not going to have any impact to be matir tiltul for the other bnei chatzer of Reuven's chatzer in the second chatzer. Amalei. So now it's very interesting. Rabba, who disagrees with Shmuel, is going to defend Shmuel. And how is that so? Lo l'didi kasha v'lo l'shmuel kasha. You might ask, well, how could Reuven, so to speak, represent the other bnei chatzer, either for kinyan or for dira? Says Rabba, it's not a difficult question. Why? Shlichus dekulei ka'avit. That person, Reuven, we called him, who is offering a pas to the other chatzer, he is serving as a shliach. And therefore, whether or not I hold the erev mishum kinyan or I hold the erev mishum dira, his shlichus is valid. And it operates to generate an eruv that's valid for all the bnei chatzer. Omar Rabba, Omar Rav Choma Bar Guri, Omar Rav Halacha Ki Rabbi Shimon. With regard to the three chatzeros that open up one to the other, and on the other extremes they open up into Rishus HaRabim, we paskin like Rabbi Shimon, and that means that the middle bnei achotzer are allowed to carry into the chitzonos. The chitzonos are allowed to carry into the emtsayis. And again, this is Rav Shita. And the outer extreme chitzonios are not allowed to carry into one another. They can carry into the emtsayis, but not one to the other. And this leads us to the new Mishnah here on Daf Mem Testament Base. Misha Baba Derech, a person is on the road on Erev Shabbos v'chashchalo, and he realizes that it's about to get dark, and he wants to set up an Erev Tchumen, which will allow him 2,000 amah. Hayamakir Ilan Ogader, he knew about a tree which was, let's say, 2,000 amah away from where he was standing. And he knew that that tree was 2,000 amah away from his house. The Omar, and he made a declaration, Shvisasi Tachtov. I want to be Konish Visa underneath this tree. Underneath the foliage of the tree. What that would accomplish for him is that he would be allowed to go 2,000 Amma, not only to the tree, but from the tree to his house. Lo Amar Klum, the Mishnah says that's not valid. And this is based on a halacha called Birer Es Makom Shvisaso. Birer means, he can't just say in a general sense, well, that's my Makom Shvisa. He has to be very specific and pinpoint the exact Makom Shvisa. Now, in this case, we're talking about a tree that has a large foliage that stretches. And he says Tachas Ha'ilam, but he doesn't pinpoint exactly where Tachas Ha'ilam. For example, there may be a western part of the under the foliage of the Ilan, there's an eastern part, and so forth and so on. So because he hasn't specified, he was not Konish Visa Tachas Ha'ilam. Kevin Shalom Birer, he did not pinpoint his Makom Shvisa. Now the Mishnah goes on, and what happens if a person says, Shvisasi bi'ikaro, I'm not being Konish Shvisa somewhere underneath the foliage of that tree, which is undefined and unspecified, but rather, I want to be Konish Shvisa at the trunk of the tree, the base of the tree. In such a case, he's allowed Mahalech mimakom raglov, he's allowed to walk from where he is now, Viad Ikro, all the way to the Ikar, meaning the trunk of the tree, Alpayim Amma. And again, we're assuming that the distance from where he is now and the trunk of the tree is 2,000 Amma. And then Viad Beso, Alpayim Amma. Now he gets another 2,000 Amma because he was Konish Visa at that point, the trunk of the tree, which is 2,000 Amma away from his house. So when nightfall and Shabbos enters, he can walk 4,000 amos, 2,000 amos to his Makom Shvisa, and 2,000 amos from his Makom Shvisa into his bayis. But v'im eino makir, if let's say he doesn't know that the Elon, or this God there that we mentioned before, is standing within 2,000 amma, not more, not further than 2,000 amma from where he is now. Oshena baki balacha. He doesn't realize, he's not knowledgeable that he could be kovea, shvisa, remote control within 2,000 amma. V'yomer, and he says, shvisasi bimkomi. I want to be kona shvisa right here. Is zachalo makomo, he was kona shvisa here. And he gets alpayim amma l'chol ruach. He can go 2,000 amma in any direction from the place he is now. He's not going to get himself back to his home. Now this is only because he made the declaration shvisasi bimkomi. Otherwise, Rabbeinu Yonason is one of the commentaries of the Rishonim. He says it would come under the halach of tovs. He didn't realize that he could be konish shvisa at an ilan, which is within 2,000 amma, and then he would have another 2,000 amma to get home. Had he been aware of that, he certainly would have been Konish Visa at the Elon, rather than being Konish Visa here. So that would, lechora, be a case of betos. And that's a sugi that we had back on Daf Memhei. But the answer is that tos could be helpful if he didn't make a declaration. Here he made a declaration, he explicitly said, Shvisasi bimkomi. And therefore he's Konish Visa here, we'll give him 2,000 amma here, but that's about it. Agulos. Divrei Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos. We have now a fundamental machlokes about where does the 2,000 amma around his makom shvisa take him or allow him to walk. According to Rabbi Chanina, what we're going to do is we're going to put a dot as representing his makom shvisa and a circle all around that dot so that any line that you make from that dot to the outer circle, wherever it is going to be 2,000 amma. That's all he gets. Chachomim omer mirubos, kitavlo mirubas, kideshi niskar lizovios. So in your diagram, what you have is a circle, and you have a square around the circle. What that square gives you are four zovios, four extra corners. so that if you would take a diagonal, let's say going either east or west from the middle point of the circle, you'd only get 2,000 amma. But if instead of setting up a line towards your right or towards your left, you set up a diagonal going in a slanted direction, then you don't stop at 2,000 amma on the outskirts of the circle, the circumference, but rather you go into the zavis. And again, we're going to have to go through mathematical calculations to figure out how do you measure a square around a circle. And basically, the ratio is 8,000 amas to 2,000 amas. So that means that the distance between the outer circle and the zavis in each of the four corners is 8,000 amas. So according to Chachamim Reb Chanina, we're going to give him, at least if he goes, again, depending on where he goes, which direction, but if he goes to any of the four corners, then we're going to give him an extra 800 amos, all told 2,800 amos, because we're going to make the circle into a square. V'zohi sha'omru ha'ani ma'ariv beraglov. And the Mishnah now brings the machlokas about who's allowed to be ma'ariv without a pas. According to the first shita, which is that of Rabbi Meir, is ha'ani ma'ariv bepas. Only someone who doesn't have a pas, he can't afford it, or he's on the road and he can't get access, there are no bakeries there. On Rabbi Meir, einanu ela ani. But if you're a rich person, and you just want to be lazy, and you want to send... If you're a rich person, and you don't want to set up a pass for the Erev Tchum, and you want to just be Ma'ariv Baraglov, we're not going to give you that option. We only created the option of Ma'ariv Baraglov as a secondary fallback position in the event that you have no pass. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Omer Echad Ani Ve'Echad Oshir. Everyone could be Mahalik Baraglov. There's no absolute L'chatchila primary requirement of a pass. Lo Omru Ma'ariv Pass L'Hakel Al Oshir Shlo Yetze V'Ariv Baraglov. We wanted to make it easier for a very busy usher. He doesn't have time to go out and set up his Erev Tchumen personally. He wants to be able to send a shliach. So we instituted the enterprise of a pass. He gives over the pass to the shliach, and the shliach goes out and is kona shvisa on his behalf, 2,000 am outside the city. So just to summarize, Rabbi Meir holds that the primary takana was pass. In a no-win situation where you don't have access to pas, will allow you to be Ma'ariv Baraglov, whereas Rabbi Yehuda sees it the other way around. That primarily the takana was Ma'ariv Baraglov, and they gave the Oshir a way out in which he doesn't have to be Ma'ariv Baraglov, but rather he can send the pas with a shliach. The Gemara asks, "My lo amar klum," what does it mean in the Mishnah, when it says that if a person says Shvisasi Tachas Ha'ilon, meaning underneath the foliage of the ilon, he doesn't specify exactly where, then it's meaningless. Omar Rav, according to Rav's opinion, we'll get to Shmuel in just a minute, Lo Omar Klum Kol Ikar. He gets nothing out of his Kinyan Shvisa. The Afilu Tachtav Shel Ilon Lo Motzi Ozil. He cannot even go from here to the ilon and assume that somewhere underneath the nof, you know, somewhere there, some undefined area is his kinyan shvisa. But that's not the point. The punchline here of Rav is that he's in a no-win situation. I mean, Marav Shachi has no kinyan shvisa. His Kinyan Shvisa, Tachas Ha'ilon, was invalid because it wasn't Mevurar. He didn't specify. And on the other hand, he did not declare that he wants to be Kona Shvisa here. He's left holding the bag, so to speak, proverbially. He doesn't have an Erev there nor here. He hasn't been Kona Shvisa for a Tchum of Shabbos there under the Ilan, because it was unspecified, and nor has he been Kona Shvisa here to set up a Tchum from this point. Now, whenever a person is outside of any Kinyan Shvisa, we give him 4 amos. That's all he goes. He's going to spend 4 amos. his whole Shabbos within a circumference, a radius of 4 hours. That's Rav's opinion. Shmuel Omar, lo Omar klum lebeso, aval etaktiv shalilon motzi ozil. Which means the following. He cannot walk on Shabbos from Tachas Ha'ilon to his house, that extra 2,000 amo, because he was not successful in setting up a Shvisa Tachas Ha'ilon, it was undefined. But L'tachtav Shalilon Motzi Ozil. In other words, that he can be Kona Shvisa Tachas Ha'ilon, but there's going to be another Chamar Gamal situation. Remember, we discussed where he's being tug of war, he's being pulled in both directions. And now Shmuel is going to explain in detail why he's in a Chamar Gamal situation. And he says the following. Now, this statement of Shmuel has to be demonstrated by diagrams. So I'm hoping that you have some of the same diagrams that I have. If not, I'll try to explain it as best as I could. We only have 5 minutes, but I'll try to do whatever I can. He says, Bo limdod minat sofon. Let's say that he's coming and walking towards the tree, and the tree is, let's say, to his south. He's coming from the north, going towards the south, and his distance to the tree is less than 2,000 amma. Let's call it 2,000 amma. If he would continue, which was his hope, towards in the same direction, going from north to south, he would hit the bias. But the problem is that since he didn't define which part of the Tachas Ha'ilon he's Kona Shvisa, then we have to really go L'chumra in each direction. Is Modin Lo Min Adorom, he says, we're going to say to him, well, you know what, maybe you are Kona Shvisa on the southern side of the Elon. Okay? Did I skip something? Just 1 second. Let me just go over again. Ba limdo minat safon. No, I got it right. Is modin lo minat dorom. What we're going to have to do is, we're going to have to assume l'chumra that he was Kona Shvisa at the end of the tree, meaning to the southern direction underneath the Elon. Now, if that be the case, then he's already beyond his 2,000 amma. We're going to give him 2,000 amma to get to the tree, but now he's going to have to calculate 2,000 amma from the southern side of the tree. So we're going to have to add, you know, that distance between, you know, let's call it the base of the tree and the southern side of the tree. So he says, Omer lo shema kavata shvisasecha b'chelek hadromi shel ha'ilon. And from the chelek hadromi of the Elon, ad beischa yesh yosemi alpayim amma. So what's the chelek hadromi? So in this case, I'm not sure if I said it right before, but anyway, in this case, we're always going to go l'chumra. So if we're going to go l'chumra, and we're going to assume that he was Kona Shvisa on this side of the Elon, he's going to have more than 2,000 amma to his house. And if on the other hand, bo limdo min adorom, modim lo min atzofon. If let's say he comes from the south, we're going to have to be modim lo min atzofon. Which means we're going to have to start the medida once again from the furthest place from the bias. And therefore, he says that mitzido adromi shala ilon hapona litzad hamokom shebo hoya ome b'shas knisa. Kenisa means Kenisa Shabbos. V'chavetu ato lachso liachorov mi'at. So now what's going to happen is, if he's coming min adorom, right, he's got, let's say, 2,000 amah to reach underneath that direction of the foliage. But now to move forward, he's going to need another 4 amos. And therefore, modzin lo min atzofon, omelo shema kavata eshvi soscha bitzad atzvoni shela ilon, which is b'merchak alpaim abi b'diyuk mimokam abi doscha, tovinimtza shen chareshoi lo sheva chorecha afilu ama achas. In other words, if he wants to take advantage of the 2,000 ama of Bom and Adorom, we're going to set him up on the tzad hadromi of the foliage, and then he'll have more than 4 amos to walk in order to get to the other side of the Elon, which is on the tzad tzfoni, and he's gone already beyond his 2,000 amos. And on Daf Nunam and Aleph, the Gemara is now going to analyze this machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. So that I think we'll leave for tomorrow. So we're mamish on the top of Daf Nunam and Aleph. Well, tomorrow, as you know, is Yom HaKippurim. So we'll have to pick this up on Yom Shlishi Amirtz Hashem on Daf Nun Aleph. But Bli Neder, I'll try if I can to offer some sort of an explanation to the end of this sugya, which we're almost up to, but it needs another 10 minutes to explain the machlokes between Rav and Shmuel.